Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, the ability to know all about a person's personality and their soul's purpose simply from a person's name. Now, the beautiful, inspirational music you hear at the beginning of the show and the song at the end of the show is called Shine, and it's by Dee Lamour. And you can hear more of her music by visiting her on her website by her name, D-L-E-M-O-R. That's D as in David, so dlamour.com. She's also available on all streaming platforms. Now, our topic today is how the universe is set up. What are rakiyas and various realms of existence? What are the various kingdoms here on earth, from the devas to the divine? Who are the kamuras, and why are they so important? Where do humans fit into this? What are the gifts and challenges that each kingdom holds? Where do the healing gifts of humans originate? And our special guest is Susan Klopstein. Now, Susan Klopstein is a soul scientist, psychotherapist, spiritual healer, and founder of Soul Wealth, a healing process that begins where psychotherapy leaves off. Susan graduated summa cum laude with an MA in clinical psychology from the National University in Irvine, California. She has dedicated more than 20 years to developing and mastering her Soul Wealth healing techniques, which identifies the unique spiritual wealth of information, knowledge, and experience of everybody. As the former communications and marketing manager for Toshiba America, Susan won awards for her national advertising campaigns and developed the crisis management campaign that handles unfortunate actions and the corresponding press. She managed an annual budget of $9.4 million and oversaw the advertising launch of 15 new products. Along with utilizing her unique healing techniques, Susan uses her business experience to help people with their business plans. We always love having Susan back with us. She is just absolutely remarkably talented in being able to identify what is going on within the physical body. It's like she sees it through X-ray vision. And then she's able to go back through time and space to see when did it start, in what lifetime, in which dimension, in which rakia, and literally pull it from then all the way forward so that you can get rid of it once and for all and not have it show back up again when you show back up. So we always enjoy having Susan in her unique perspective. Susan, welcome to Luminescence.
Thank you so much. That was so sweet. I love being on the show. Look forward to this show.
Well, I'm so glad. So our topic today is how the universe is set up. So we want to start with defining what is a rakia and what are the various realms of existence.
I'll start with a cosmos because that gives it a better understanding. A cosmos is, it's like the best definition for the word cosmos that I could find is represented on www.vocabulary.com. Cosmos is a sum total of everything, our universe, the Milky Way, even including far-off galaxies. What I look at a universe as a star system with planets, a planetary system with stars, a few star systems, and a cosmos really is a universe with a Milky Way and a sun system, if you will. A Milky Way, consider a Milky Way as being like a gateway to other cosmos, right? And when we understand that, we can look at what is a rakia. And in my work, a rakia holds usually about four cosmos, including one or more Milky Ways, which are gateways to other cosmos and other rakias. And over 27 years of doing this work, I have identified 14 different rakias. Most every rakia, other than the 13th and the 14th, they all have four universes in them. They have different numbers of star systems. They have different numbers of gateways in them. But they most all have four universes in them, except the 13th and the 14th, which have 8 to 9 universes in them. And I'm still learning them. I'm still working with them.
And stuff, because these are terms that we haven't heard of, many of us haven't heard of before we've met you. And so that's why I really appreciate you defining them. So what are the various kingdoms that are here on Earth, from the divas to the divine? What are those?
In terms of the kingdoms, I'll refer to them as, firstly, by realms of existence, right? Because you wanted to know what the realms were, and then I can look at some of the kingdoms.
All right.
Know of the five realms of existence, right? The heavenly realm. And people astral travel to heaven for communication to loved ones in their circle of life, for education, for clarity, and for instructional guidance. And we've all been there. It's like, what do I do now? Please help me. And we travel there for answers, right? And we also die, and we obviously go into light in heaven. And then we have the realm of the void. And people astral travel to the void for a break, for respite, to clear their mind and to gain creative clarity. It's like a place where we transit for a void, if you will, of thought. And in that null or nothingness, we can set our mind tapes aside. We can reach for our own clarity and our own creative expression. Sometimes we also die and our souls can choose to go to this place of the void until we consciously choose to go into the light. And many souls, they literally choose hanging in the void for 1 to 2 years. But when they incarnate in life, one of the things that I frequently heal is dissociative disorder, because people can be really dissociative. They can have a lot of fantasies if they spent a lot of time in the void. And we have a place, a realm of purgatory. And people astral travel to purgatory to express feelings of conflict and discouragement with God and events of life. It's where the soul transit, kind of, to rant against God, to rant against injustices and all the losses, the accidents, the illnesses, the abuses in life. And in this realm, we consciously reject God. We are distrustful of his governances in our lives. We're hurt and angry, and we're expressing it. We're just letting it go. And we also transit to this place of purgatory, sometimes in death. And it is a place where people hang, where they consciously reject God. However, they are not rejected by God. They are simply choosing to reject God for a time being. Now, many people can hang in this place of purgatory for years, hundreds of years, but when they come out of it, sometimes they incarnate and they go through a period of that memory, they have depression and detachment. So it's not uncommon for me to heal that from a period of time in purgatory. And then, of course, we know of a place of hell, a realm of hell. It's a realm of embodied reality. It's also a state of consciousness, as well as a realm of existence. Hell is a karmic state where God is his hands upon the spirit and the soul, but he has rejected the soul's behavior, and he's removed his blessings of protection and provision from the soul until the offending debts of sin or karma are repaid. This is true for severe sins, such as idolatry or rejection of God for the worship of an anti-source, an antichrist, gold, money, obsession, murder, sexual crimes, particularly against children, women, and defenseless ones. Hell is an embodied reality where an individual does not have the conings and the shieldings or the protections or provisions of God. It's a state of consciousness where there's no mental freedom from mind tapes of drinking or drugs or sex or violence or stealing or hurting self or others. And it's a realm of existence when the body dies and the soul passes into a place of hell where they go into judgment and to continue karmic work on the other side until deemed karmically free by God and the Akashic Records Council. If they are off path, you see that off pathness because they're rationalizing, they're minimizing, they're slipping, they're hopeless, they're repeating their naughty, if you will, behaviors. If they're on path, they're sin focused, they're working amendments, they're very focused, sometimes a bit overwhelmed, but focused on healing. And then, of course, there's that realm of eternal damnation, where it is also a realm of reality, and it's a soul consciousness, and it's a realm of existence. And in that realm, God has rejected the soul and or the spirit, and his hands of blessing, protection, provision, they're totally removed. In this realm, people have debts to repay, but they frequently take no responsibility for them. This is our realm of incarnated sociopaths and psychopaths. And at some point in the history of their existence, they've made a decision not to care about humanity. The callous detachment reflected is reflected in their violent behavior. And as they're not willing to take karmic responsibility for the pain that they've inflicted on others, God is not willing to place his hands of blessing, protection, or provision on them. It's a realm of existence when the body dies and the soul passes into this place of continued judgment and containment with other like souls. There are other reasons why these realms of existence are relevant. They're because other Rakia have other different or additional realms of existence, and people are playing through emotional and karmic issues from these other realms of existence. For example, in the 14th Rakia, there's a realm of existence where groups of people are held in a prison of a void. You can't get out of it. It's literally a prison sentence. They can visit with loved ones. They can visit with their animals that have died. But they are in a prison there. They can't be released until the deputy god of that realm releases them. So it's really different. Do you know what I mean? And it has unique healing issues. So in reality, it's very hard to heal someone until you know what their background is in another Rakia. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's just fascinating. You mentioned two questions came up while you were doing that before we get to the, the various kingdoms. You mentioned a deputy god. So what is a deputy god? How do they fit into the scheme of things?
A deputy god is literally a god. This is a god being under source. For example, it is, Jesus was a deputy god, right? Yahweh is a deputy god. El Shaddai is a deputy god. Jehovah. I'm trying to think of deputy gods of Earth. Rama, Siddha, Siddhartha. All of these are deputy gods. They are beings that are some of the first created beings created by God. They are meant to be godheads, and they are meant to take responsibility for certain planets and for certain bodies of people on those planets.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. Also, when you mentioned karma, does karma exist in all Rakias or just this one or just a few?
This is a karmic universe. There are other universes that are not karma whatsoever, and they don't have our laws. That's not how they're living. They're not living with laws of debts of omission or commission.
Wow. All of that sounds really complicated. How did you learn all of this?
Probably about 300 sessions a year. And I've written every session I've ever had. So literally, I didn't learn by someone teaching me. I learned by reading the Bible and reading the lost texts of the Bible over and over and over, and then literally asking Spirit as I was doing session to explain, to show me, and to explain various things that I was seeing over and over and over. Because obviously, who is there to teach me? And you know, the other thing is this, Cheryl. People kept healing. People have always, for me, gotten out of wheelchairs. They have recovered their hearing. They've recovered sight. My children have recovered sight. You know, that is why I do what I do. If I was not seeing the level of healing that I am seeing, I would not look at this and say it's real or it's true or it's worth doing. But people heal when they have sessions with me. And therefore, it's valid. It's good. Everything I do is under prayer. And everything I do is with prayer. So if it is working, if that is what the guidance of the people that come into me show me, then that is the origin of their dis-ease state. And if I can understand it and define it, and pray for it from its point of origin, people seem to heal incredibly. I mean, we've worked together for 28 years now, and you have seen healings that you can't believe, right?
Well, I do believe them because I've seen so many of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just one or two, you know, a year. It's over and over and over. And it's also things that where people have had x-rays of cancer and tumors, and then they go back and it's like, well, wait a minute, where'd the cancer go? I mean, and I hear this over and over. I just worked with someone that was in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia. And he's elderly. He's 75. And the doctors were saying, we've never seen this level of healing. I mean, compared to how sick he was when he came. He was out of the hospital in 5 days.
Yeah, which is just remarkable. Okay, we're right at our first commercial break. So when we come back, we're going to hear about the various kingdoms on earth, from the divas to the divine. Stay tuned.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. You are with Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Susan Klopstein. Now, she has a website that is called Soul Wealth. It's both words put together, just soulwealth.com. So if you'd like to get a hold of Susan, the easiest way is through her website, soulwealth.com. The other thing I'd like to say before we get started again is, as many of you know, I've had this operation and I am homebound for 3 months, which meant that I had to cancel all of my appearances and travel for this time. And what I have found is I can now sit up normally all day long and I am bored. And I know that sounds crazy, but I would love to do name readings. So we're going to offer a special to keep me from being too bored while everything got canceled. And that is, if you get 3 of your friends or family members to book a reading, then you get one free. And so I just wanted you to know that that is through the month of November. And then after that, I'll be back and running around again. Okay, so we're back with Susan Klopstein. And Susan, what are the various kingdoms here on Earth, from the divas to the divine?
Well, when we think of kingdoms on Earth, we tend to think of the conscious beings or spirit or human, animal, plant, mineral kingdoms of Earth. But originally, there are probably more. The kingdom that we label human was probably divided into a number of ancient realms. And I'll start by naming them from the realm of the archangelics and the divine beings to the divas and the angelics unto the wee people and the fairy kingdoms. The archangelics and divine beings. Now, the archangelics are magnificent spiritual beings, and they vibrate with incredible light and frequency. And each archangel supervises a specific task for Source, like Archangel Michael, his name literally means protector of God. Archangel Raphael is healer of God. Archangel Gabriel is communicator of God. Archangel Zedekiel is archangel of death. Right now, it's interesting, Archangel Ariel is actually incarnated on Earth, and he is clearing the he's clearing the dimensions, which is fascinating, because when you look out, there are many days that are so sharp and clear, and you can tell when there are days that are sharp and clear like that, that they are working on the dimensions. It's really cool. Now, divine beings, they're spiritual beings of higher order who preside over the spiritual powers, virtues, values, aspects of nature, and material creations. I'll give you some examples. Father Time, St. Valentine's, he is the he's the head of soul partner covenants. St. Joseph, Father Jesus, he is the saint of fatherhood. He supervises fatherhood. Mother Mary, Mother Jesus, supervises motherhood. St. Benedict supervises children. Okay, so these are examples of divine beings. Then there are divas, and there are 3 varieties and orders of divas. There are like astral divas that exist on the astral plane, and they bring specific 3D instructions of heavenly visions to manifestors on Earth. So, like, you can get a vision of how to draw and how to redesign a room in your home, and know that that may well be a diva of a home nature spirit, okay? And they're giving specific instruction. There are monadic divas, and they place monads of plans over areas of Earth that serve as blueprints for development. These monads serve as plans for development of townships, of manufacturing plants, of cities, as well as evolution plants, plans for, think of this, plants, and evolution plans for animals and how animals will change and evolve, right? And then there are Modavic divas, and these divas serve as prominent aids to people who are struggling to follow, to execute plans of God. These divas are powerful in creating and executing plans of God, of Kumaras, of divine beings. They can work alone, but also they operate in pairs and trios and squads, and I just see groups of them. And then we have the whole kingdom of angelics. And we've talked about this one before, because there are many types of angelics on Earth. Their most common type of incarnated being on Earth, they're everywhere. And so if we were to look at them, we would see red ray angelics, and they're about life and healing the body. They're ambulance attendants and emergency room personnel. They're Blu-ray. They protect physical and the rights of others. They're detectives. They're FBI agents. They're lawyers. They're Silver Ray, and their protection of the physical. They're police. They're army. They're officers. They're security guards. They're Gold Rays, and these people are on mission of God. They're on mission of Messiah. They protect those that are on mission. They include the Pope and some cardinals and heads of the courts of The Hague, the CIA, presidential details, Swiss guards for the Pope. They are quite a variety. Maroon, they're healers of earth, recyclers, farmers, purifiers. The Orange Ray, you're such an Orange Ray, Sharon. They're intellectuals, they're scientists, they're financial people, they're mathematicians, they're CPAs, they're inventors, they're managers. And then there are the Yellow Ray, they're advanced talent. They help people to advance their talents and the esteem. So they are also teachers, professors, customer service representatives, mentors. The Green Ray, they teach people self-love and healing. They're therapists, psychologists, pastors. And the Purple Ray. And Purple Ray angelics teach people morals, ethics, spirituality. They, too, are pastors, priests, singers as well. And the Violet Force, they assist with completions and ascension. They're hospice workers, pastors, undertakers. The Indigo Rays, they're inventors of new products, fixers of processes. They help heal consciousness of humanity. And we have the new ones here, the crystalline ray, which assisted direct communications with spirit. And we have white ray angelics, which combine rays of specialization in equal measure. And they are frequently high-level administrators, presidents, leaders, Supreme Court justices. And then we have, I met one the other day, it was really fun, incarnated Seraphim and Orophim, that Seraphim bring messages from God to people on earth, and Orophim bring messages from humans to God, yes? And they're really fun when you meet an incarnated one. But another type of guidance that I really wanted to touch upon is that of the ancient realm guidance, the wee people and the fairy realm variety, because we have incarnated elves on earth, and they are guides of incarnated divas and kingdoms of land masses who hold the historic memories of specific plant life, specific land masses of earth. And there are hobbits, and they're guardians of knolls and groves and particular places where light ley lines transect earth. That's a mouthful, but literally that's where you find most of them, where these light ley lines transect places of earth and where there are volumes of light beings that are coming to earth. And you have the dwarfin, which are guardians of forests and woods and guides of divas and people responsible for specific forested and wooded areas of earth. And you have gnomes, and they're guardians of lawns and meadows and gardens, and guides of divas and people responsible for large gardens and farm areas feeding people of earth. And you have merpeople. And it's not something we know a lot about, but throughout our history of earth, there is evidence of merpeople, and they are guardians of oceans and sea and plant and sea and animal life. They also guide incarnated divas of plant and animal life. And once in a while, I'll have a client with a mermaid guide, and they themselves are usually a diva of some sort, and they have a merperson guide.
Okay, I want to go back a little bit.
And then we have the fairy kingdom, and I've always said that my sister is, hold on, a pixie.
Before you go to the fairy kingdom, I want to go back a little bit. When you were talking about the angels, I want to know about the parking angel. You know, so many of us say, oh, we're going to get a good parking spot because I've asked my parking angel, and then you get this incredible spot you know, right where you wanted to park. So where do parking angels fall into the realm?
I never thought about it. Is that falling under Lord Christopher, St. Christopher? Nope. What I'm hearing is that they are literally some type of, let me see if they, little like guides that are, I'm seeing some are sprites and some are pixies, and they literally are in and around parking areas, frequently watching other people, particularly children, that are in the area of those parking areas. In other words, they're not necessarily people specifically responsible for that parking lot. I don't see that. But I do see that there are people that are watching their pixies and hobbits and fairies, mostly pixies and fairies, that are watching other people there that help you.
Oh, interesting.
It's fairies. Think of fairy is a guardian of homes, and they're guardians of people that care for homes, as well as guardians of some children who are playing in the homes and learning from the homes and learning how to care for the homes. So a fairy would be in the area of a shopping district. Also, pixies would be in the areas of a shopping district, particularly anytime you've got pixies for our guides of toddlers and children, particularly in the ages of like 8 months to 7 years old, as children are just so small and they're just learning to identify plant and animal life of Earth. So they keep these little ones safe by almost musically leading them away from what might be unsafe to what is more interesting.
See,
so
I just
right
find
there in the areas at the time.
See, I just find all of that fascinating. And the other thing is, and it could have been me, but did we go through the silver ray? We went through so many colors, and I was thought I was listening for the silver ray and missed it.
Yeah, I mentioned it, but isn't it interesting? Now, the silver ray, they are protectors of the physical. So many silver ray are policemen, they're army officers. They're security guards. They frequently protect the protect communities. They protect people and communities. And then you have separately your gold ray. Your gold ray, they can be two people. They can be on mission, right? A lot of gold ray people are on mission. A number of gold ray people are also CIA agents. Remember I worked with a CIA agent out of New York for a woman that she was reported by a pastor of a church there who he was also volunteer fireman, and he called in to say, I've got a concern about one of the people that comes to my church. And it turned out that she was married to someone that was a major drug dealer for the whole New England states, right?
Right.
So she was put into protective custody, she and her children. So the CIA agent called me, he was definitely a Gold Ray Angel. It's like, whoa, I'm not used to dealing with them. They're, you know, fascinating.
Okay, so now we can go back to fairies. Thank you for backtracking with me.
It's fun to backtrack on stuff like this. I'll go on to sprites, because sprites are kind of fun, too. They're guardians of homes, and they're often called home nature sprites. They guide in the care and also in the transitions of homes, when homes are being updated to fit a family's transitional needs. Then that's when you see a lot of sprites come in. They watch over heirlooms, and they watch over treasures that get hidden in homes. So sometimes if I want to find something, I'll ask, well, I can't see it. I wonder if there's a sprite in that home, and if I can find the sprites, they frequently know where things are.
Oh, isn't that interesting? That kind of reminds me of the Harry Potter series and the sprite that was working for the different homes. Okay.
Yeah.
So
they do. They find things too. They're wonderful at it.
yeah. Well, it appeared that way in the Harry Potter series. I loved reading those books. I absolutely
That's
loved them.
wonderful.
And then I thought they did such a good job of the movies, but we're digressing. Okay. So the next thing we're going to talk about are the chimeras and why they're so important.
I'll get right to the Camorras, but I just had this fleeting vision, and I wonder if the Harry Potter series is a reflection of what a lot of life in Atlantis could be. You know, because Atlantis was very magical in many, many ways. So Atlantis is also interesting, talking about Camorras, because Atlantis held a religion, the early form, if you will, of Christianity, called the Law of One. And it's probably the first incarnation of Jesus on earth. And so, with that understanding, Camorras are literally the first 600 beings created by God. Now, I've read and heard that the first 100 are gods, the rest are global leaders with a profound mission. But in the Sanskrit text, our first four are Sanat Kamora, Sanatana Kamora, Sanadana Kamora, and Sanat Kamora. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the second one correctly. Sanatana. Sanatana Kamora. There we go.
Okay.
And the fifth actually would be Dwal Kul. And it said that the first four incarnated here, literally like before the flood. And I would place their incarnation on the continent of Pangaea, which would have been Eurasia, right? Approximately 2 million years ago. And they all maintain a strong focus on Earth. We would know Sanat Kamora as Jesus. We'd know Dwal Kul as Moses. And they're all extremely powerful. When they are incarnated, the Elohim note and execute almost every one of their prayers. They
Now
are.
that's fascinating, and we need
Isn't
to
that
hold that
fascinating?
thought because it's our second time for our commercial break. So stay tuned. We'll come back and find out more about the Chimeras and why they're so important.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Susan Klopstein created an incredible spiritual practice called Soul Wealth that releases blockages from your life. Curses, trauma, karma, old commitments and contracts dissolve. Significant health issues, negative beliefs, unhealthy relationships, and destructive behavioral patterns simply fade away. All of the obstructions that no longer serve you on your life path simply dissipate, making possible a more joyous, fulfilling life. Contact Susan Klopstein at soulwealth.com for a most loving, spiritual soul wealth session.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk
shoes.
Welcome back to Luminescence. You're with Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Susan Klepstein. All right, Susan, we were just getting to this really juicy part about the Kimuras and why they're so important. So you said the Kimuras were the first 600 people on here, which just makes that fascinating to begin with. But go ahead and finish what you wanted to say about the Kimuras.
Yeah, just one of the Kimuras that we love is the Dalai Lama, right? He's a beautiful Kimura who maintains an eternal presencing on Earth. And another would be Gandhi. Gandhi is Kimura, definitely. Gandhi is the head of a... it's an organization that watches people as they move from darkness into light. It's called Hiawatha Council. And when people are stepping from real darkness, real karmic darkness, into light, and they need special assistance, Gandhi is head of the council that directs that assistance. Fabulous.
Wow, I just think all of that stuff is so fascinating. So where do humans fit into all of this?
Well, this is us. This is us. We are. Some of us here are Kimura. Some are archangels. You know, some are angelic beings from different rays. Some are divas. Some are members of the We People kingdom. They literally are incarnated elves and hobbits and dwarfs and gnomes and merpeople. Some are literally incarnated fairies and pixies and sprites. It is said that one of the reasons why Atlantis was destroyed, one of the reasons why the flood occurred, was because of obscenities, if you will. And in our thinking, we automatically go to, oh, you know, unlawful sex, drinking, you know, stealing, blah, blah, blah. But that probably was not it. What was probably the most abhorrent activity that was happening then is shape-shifting of these kingdoms of people. Shape-shifting people who are meant to be fairies and pixies and sprites into human beings. Shape-shifting merpeople into humans. Shape-shifting gnomes and dwarfs into human beings, right? Some of these were not meant to be human. They just simply were not. And I believe that that was the abomination that actually brought down Atlantis and caused the flood to occur. And then, for whatever reason, people that have incarnated, that we've been human beings ever since, right? One race on Earth, if you will. The human race. But I believe prior to that, we had a number of different kingdoms on Earth.
Okay, so according to the book Can It Happen Again by Afra Wesh, that's been quoted many, many times by other people like Greg Braden and others, the story of Atlantis, it fell because of science versus religion. And that's why her book, Can It Happen Again, is such a popular story about what happened in Atlantis, because there was a war between what the religious people wanted to do and understood, and that's where the leaders were, and what the scientists wanted to do. And when they were trying to figure out a shortcut to get down to the other side of the Earth, instead of going around the Earth, they wanted to go through the Earth. And so the scientists in their experiments actually caused the firmament that at that time was over the Earth that kept the temperature even everywhere on the Earth. It literally caused the firmament to break and caused all the flooding. And that's just according to her book. So it's one more theory that's out there. Okay, so where do the healing gifts of human beings originate?
Well, healing originates from the willingness to see the truth of God, the truth of accidents, of illness, of abandonment, of abuses, of loss, of separations, of spiritual abuses, such as dark arts, It's like true healing occurs in all bodies when the origin of disease is identified, understood, forgiven, and released in prayer. And the rays, the beings of angelic rays empowered to do this type of healing, are the red ray angelics, the green ray angelics, and the purple ray angelics, most notably.
See, now I find that all fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost like one of the next questions would be, why is this truth important? And there can be many different perspectives and truths, right?
But right.
There is only one truth of how a specific set of symptoms formed a disease state, how they originated. And by the spiritual law of our cosmos, our rakia, and our free will choice provided by God, we need to name it. We need to call it out, preferably in God's name, so that it stays out, right? And those are the laws of free will that are in place in our universe at this time. And the nice thing is that these laws function even if the disease state, if you will, occurred in another rakia. Even if the disease state occurred in another cosmos, another rakia, or, here's another one, if the disease state occurred in another reality. Did the disease state occur in the void? Did it occur when that person was walking in a place of hell? Did it occur when that person was walking in a place of purgatory? Did it occur in heaven when they were in service to God? So because our laws are about free will choice, when we identify the truth and name it and pray about it in God's name, it is able to release, and it stays released. I mean, that is true healing.
So one of your amazing gifts, other than being able to see entities and all kinds of, and seeing through the body and seeing what's really going on, is being able to identify where that disease state or distortion is what I'd like to call it, is yep. where that distortion started, where it originated, and then to be able to call it forth from that location. I always explain when people call me for healing and I go, oh, you need Susan, that you literally find where it originated and then yank it through time and space and wherever it was into the current moment to forgive it and release it. And then it's gone. So the person, as they keep going in their life, because we are one continuous life, regardless of where we go after this apparent life, they don't call it back again.
No. No, it's not called back again. The only time when it's repeated is when, and this does happen, when they may have it in many different lifetimes. Do you know what I mean? And I try to get it from every lifetime. But the most important thing is to try to get it in all, and its belief systems, you know, its physical implications, its emotional implications, and its belief systems from the lifetime where it originated. Because most other lifetimes are just replaying a part of it, right?
Okay.
And the thing is, when I see the magnitude of what happened to someone and all pieces of it and all the players of it, and then we identify it and the individual forgives themselves for whatever part that they had it. And remember the word forgiveness, it means I forgive it, I give it back. The original Hebraic intention of that word means, it doesn't mean that it was okay, you know, that it was, oh, gee, you know, I'm sorry that happened, it was in the past, it's okay, blah, 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 I'll just pass it by. No. It means I forgive it. I give it back to my higher self to transmute into information and knowledge that will help me heal. I forgive it back to the person that caused this pain. I didn't cause it. I didn't create it. I forgive it back to them for them to hold and experience and heal from. And I forgive it back to God, whose shoulders are much bigger than mine are and who would love to take this off my shoulders that I can be free.
And that's a good place to stop for today. So everybody, how you get a hold of Susan, especially if you want a session or to learn more about her, is on soulwealth.com. That's her website. Again, it is soulwealth.com. Susan, the time always goes way too fast when you're on the air with us. And I want to thank you for being here with me.
Oh, thanks so much. It's a lovely show. Thank you again.
Oh, my pleasure. Our pleasure. We all love to hear you and having you share your knowledge with us. Next week, we have Pat Robertson Rice on the air with us again, and our topic will be the five cosmic laws of the universe and what must be learned under each one. And so this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth, being grateful, as always, that you take your time to listen to us and that you're choosing to have spiritual growth in your own life to raise your consciousness. We always end our show with the music by Dee Lamour called The Shine, and with that, I will sign off. See you next week.
Gazing in the mirror, an image of an angel smiling back at her. No wounds or imperfections, just beauty and its glow. Her laughter and her heart, a reflection of her soul. And I want to shine like the sun and smile to stop the rain. And I want to dance with the wind and believe in dreams again. Canvas of her, the light slightly dimmed, her reflection unseen, and all that she knew, and all that would be, it vanished like the sunrise.